Accession number 27185, wheel 26.
Major Barras, wheel 26. You were saying about your store man who decided to come forward.
Yeah, he came from the quartermaster stores with Corporal Haynes. And as I was just about to say, he hadn't been with me very long. The poor chap got killed. And I remember the letter from his wife saying that it's just like him. He wouldn't have wanted to stay in the quartermaster stores when there was fighting to be done. And then she went on to say that she was the best husband she could ever have had. And he will be dearly missed. Mm. And then they sort of finish up, well, look after yourself, and let's hope there are no more people get killed. And there were a lot of letters like that. I've kept them, but I can't find them. they are somewhere. If I find them, perhaps you'd like to see one or two of them.
I think they'd be very interesting.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I've now got to find them. Mm. I've just looked at my notes. Yes. Whitley, I wish I could remember his first name, I can't, was killed at during an attack on Tilly.
Yes.
So it must have been during the last attack we did. There must have been still Germans there.
Yes.
And I must have been involved in the attack. Mm. My company, that is.
It'd be unusual for them not to leave a rear guard.
Yes, there must have been some, but they didn't really work gone altogether.
Yes.
But we did find in Bayeux that they'd gone, and we found in this place in what we now call Essex Wood that they'd gone, although they came back pretty quick. But they didn't, as far as I know, they didn't counterattack here. I think things had been going on the flanks, and they'd moved.
Well, so I remember it, Tilly had been attacked very frequently.
Oh, yeah.
Changed hands three or four times.
Yes.
Before we finally managed to take it.
Yeah, that's right.
Permanently.
Yeah. I think the only ones who ever took it were the Gloucesters. Mm. And then they got heavily attacked and
pushed back out again.
Had to retire, yes. Well, if you agree, I think we...
After you had taken Tilly, did the enemy respond in an active way?
Yes, there was... I think earlier I had said that there was little... response, but in fact on reflection I can remember quite a heavy response with artillery mostly. There may have been some mortar fire amongst it, but I think probably they'd retired too far for that. But we certainly got very heavy shelling.
Did that shelling cause significant casualties?
I can't remember now. I can just remember the shelling. I mean, we got shelled more or less most days. So I really can't remember in which particular shelling people got wounded or killed.
Were you able to make use of the Germans' own positions to protect yourselves against?
I think we didn't stay there actually very long. We didn't use the German positions, as far as I remember, because we went through the town out the other side, where we went through the town, which was absolutely wrecked almost. There were also a lot of disabled tanks and our own and theirs. I remember those down the streets. And we went out the other side. So I don't think we were able to use the German defences. But we weren't there very long. We were withdrawn, I remember. We didn't stay there too long.
Do you remember how far south of Tilly you went when you went through?
I can't. No, just out the other side.
Just out the other side.
Yeah.
So it would have been on the outskirts of Tilly.
Yeah, it would have been.
Yeah. So there is a place where the ground falls away, and there is a little stream running.
Yes.
I don't know if that would jog your memory at all.
No, not really.
You were on with a hedge on top of it.
I think we only stayed out there for a little time to put ourselves in a position to fend off any counterattack which came, but it didn't come whilst we were there.
Did you see any signs of enemy activity?
No, not afterwards, just the shelling.
Just the shelling. Mm. Sounds as though they were using the shelling to cover their own withdrawal.
They probably were, yes. Although most of them, I said, had gone by the time we got in there.
Where then did you go when you were pulled out for your rest?
I really can't remember. I know we were back, of course, in 50 div. I think I mentioned that. We left Seventh Armoured sometime after the Verrier.
Yes.
We were back in 50 div.
As you mentioned that you were with the Durhams in the attack on Tilly, they were 50 div, weren't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. And we were still an independent brigade at this stage. So the next thing I can remember is about the middle of July, when we got orders to attack a wood called the Bois de Saint-Germain, which was very near a village called Granville. I believe there was a lateral road the other side, or either running through the wood or the other side, which the Germans were using, and which the higher-ups were very keen that we should secure and prevent the Germans using it. So that was our next operation. Now, that was mid-July. I know that because there's a particular corporal of mine who was killed here, Corporal Bucknell, and I had a long correspondence with his wife when I could. And she mentioned in the letters that I think it was the 11th or 12th of July that he was killed, and that was here. So I'm positive that this is the right time.
What do you remember about that attack?
Well, we started the attack, but as we just got into the wood, and I wish we didn't have to keep on attacking woods, actually, because they always cause trouble. Much better if we could gone round them, but in this particular instance, we were told to go through and secure the wood. I remember we had crocodiles with us, the flamethrowers, which supported us. As usual, there was an artillery preparation. And we got in, we didn't get very far actually, because the Germans decided to attack at the same time. So instead of attacking ourselves, we found ourselves defending the ground that we'd already taken. And that went on for nearly, well, at least a day and a half.
Did you actually get into the wood itself?
We got in, yes, got into part of the wood. But we actually, in order to get a better field of fire and secure ourselves more in better position, some of us withdrew out of the wood and got into the ground behind, so we got a field of fire when it was possible. But this was a big attack. They attacked with three battalions, but of course they must have been, it was called a regiment. I don't know which regiment it was. May have been from the Panzerlehr, for all I know, because we kept on coming across them, all the 2nd Panzer Division. But they must have been depleted. They couldn't have been full three battalions. It was probably battalion plus strength. But they came and attacked quite heavily, and then went away again and came back again. B Company took the brunt of it. I had some of it, but B Company on my right took the brunt of it. And Desmond Brown, who you probably don't remember, but he was my second in command and took over B Company when the company commander was killed in Verrier Woods, got a well-deserved military cross for this afterwards. But we managed to hold them off. And the thing that sticks in my mind is one stage, I think it was fairly early on, the CO, Geoffrey Elliott, had told me to send one platoon into the wood as a fighting patrol. This was before the attack. I can't remember what orders they were given or the objective. It was obviously to go in there and sort out any odd Germans who were worrying about the place and try and clear it so that the battalion could go through or to get information. Normally a reconnaissance patrol would only consist of about 3 or 4 people. But a whole platoon went in. And I remember after some period, I got no news from them, and I didn't know where they were. So I went in to look for them.
On your own?
On my own, yeah. Yes, on my own. Well, I took a sergeant with me, I think, from another platoon, because the idea was I was going to find these guys and relieve them and then try and get a proper defensive position established. Anyway, I went in and walked through, but nothing happened, and I came into a clearing. And I looked across the other side about 25 yards away, and there was four characters all standing in a trench there with no helmets on. And we looked at each other, and then all of a sudden they recognised I was British and I recognised they were German. And all hell let loose. And I didn't have my gun with me, but I don't know whether I'd ever used it anyway. I didn't say I might have a chance standing out there in the open. And I retreated. Luckily, I was quite a good runner when I was young, pursued by bullets and grenades. The only thing I can remember is roaring with laughter as I went back there. I thought it was very funny. Perhaps I didn't realise the danger I was in. I don't know, but being sort of young and fit as I was then, I was running. I just thought the whole thing was so funny. And I remember this sergeant who I brought up. He was a bit behind. He didn't come out into the open. And I came running back and I said, get out of here, you see. And he looked at me as I was roaring, going past laughing, and he sort of looked, a strange looking chap. And he wasn't one of my sergeants. I hadn't had him for some time. He was new. He didn't know me and I didn't know him very well. And he wondered what sort of company commander he got, I think. But he turned out to be excellent. I think one of the sergeants which I'd previously had would probably have joined in and we'd both run back laughing away. But anyway, I got out of that.
How close did you get to the enemy trench when you...
It was about 25 yards, I think.
Yeah. And you got away unscathed?
Yes. I mean, it was extraordinary, all these grenades blowing away and bullets sort of leaves all falling down from the trees.
Had you found any trace of your platoon?
No. I did later, actually. I found them later. But what I was able to do, of course, was to go back, wireless back to Bataan headquarters location, and gave them a map reference, and they sent the old crocs down there, and that finished that lot off. And after that, I don't know, this, I can't remember exactly the sequences. This wasn't before the attacks, this was later. Whether the attacks were dying down, or whether the attacks were going on somewhere else and I thought it was safe to go on down there, I don't know. And what these four were doing in this trench, I don't know. But I can just see there, I look now, I can remember them, four of them standing there with their, just their shoulders above the trench, and laid out before them was Schmeitzers and grenades and anything ready for people like me, I suppose.
Presumably if they'd been wearing their helmets, you would have recognised them.
Oh, I recognised them at once because I could see by their uniform, and they were facing this way too. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was somebody, I mentioned it, somebody when I got back, obviously, and somebody put it in the log and it got written about and it got all screwed up and said, oh, I thought they were British and went across to say something, but I knew who they were as soon as I came out of the wood.
In the initial attack, can you remember what was the ground like on the approaches to the wood?
Well, it was fairly open, actually. There was a road there and a crossroads, but I really can't... No, it's difficult. I can just sort of vaguely see the wood
ahead
of me and the ground round about, yes.
Was it level ground, or was it sloping up or down towards the wood?
I think we had a little bit of high ground there to hold. I mean, we must have been in a fairly advantageous position, because we killed a hell of a lot of Germans.
When they made their attack?
Yes. And we called the artillery down, obviously, and we got big support from the artillery. We also had tanks there, as well as the crocodiles.
When you were going into the wood, when you made your first attack, what was the formation for crossing the open ground on the approach? Were you...
Well, it was two companies up,
yes.
And two platoons up each.
Yes. And were they in, do you remember whether they were in file or...
Oh, no, open order.
Open order,
yeah.
So it was like a skirmish line.
It was open order, yeah, not in file, but laterally open order, yeah.
What about when you got to the wood itself, when you were fighting through a wood, what sort of formation would you try and maintain?
Well, it depended on the wood, I suppose. Yes. I can't remember here, but it's pretty thick. You then get into files, I should think.
Yes.
But if it's rather like Verrier was, which was a collection of scattered orchards and a bit open... Then you'd stay in the open order.
Open order.
Yeah.
So you got in. Do you have any idea of how far you got into the wood?
Not very far. Not very far.
And what happened then? You and did you then You said that then the enemy were...
Well, we fended off the first attack.
Was that from within the wood?
Yes, I think so. And then they withdrew. But somehow we must have sensed, or the CO must have sensed they were going to come back again.
So you withdrew.
So we were withdrawn out of the wood and onto the open ground.
Dug in, presumably.
Well, I suppose as far as we could at that time, yeah.
When we didn't get much time. Attack, they advance into the wood and throw it. Did you have artillery support?
Yes.
Do you know what scale of support you were getting? Was it the normal 25-pounder battery?
Oh, it'd be 25-pounders, yes. Oh, it'd be more than a battery. I think we probably got a regiment.
A regiment.
Yeah. Right. I mean, there were... our artillery was in... at that time, was magnificent, actually. I mean, it could be... You could have as many guns as you wanted, really. On some instances, which I may tell you about later, we got a whole Agra firing, air bursts and none, five fires and the lot going.
You mentioned the crocodile tanks. How many of them were there involved in this?
I can't remember now. Probably a troop.
Mm. How were they deployed or distributed? Were they to one side of your infantry, or were they in amongst the infantry?
No, they weren't in amongst us. They'd have operated separately on the side. But I think they were held in reserve to start with, because you have to wait until you've got a target for them to get at. And they're only used when you have difficulty with a strong point of some sort. Mm. They wouldn't come with us in the attack and sort of spurting out in front.
No. When the Germans made the first attack, what were they doing? How were they conducting this attack? Long when you were in the wood and they came actually as you were advancing into it?
I really can't remember. I can remember there was a lot of firing going on. So difficult. I find remembering things which you are totally involved with don't stamp themselves on your mind. It's when you're a witness and standing back and watching things and see something that it you get a photograph.
Okay. And you said that in the second attack, your company was attacked, but the other company on your left was...
On my right,
actually. On your right, the main target.
Yeah.
And do you remember what sort of formation the Germans were in for that attack on the two forward companies?
I can't remember. Well, I don't think that. I think they were all strung out, as far as I can remember, in the usual sort of attacking formation which they normally used.
Would that have been an extended line, like your...
Yes.
Did they have any heavy weapon support for that attack?
Well, we were... Yeah, artillery and mortars, yes.
So coming down...
Before they came.
And you were saying a lot of them got killed in that attack?
Yes.
Because you were...
Yeah. Well, eventually.
Eventually.
Yeah, not in that particular attack, but by the end of the time when they'd finished. Mm. I can remember somebody telling... I can't remember seeing him now, because I don't... Mm. I mean, I must have done. But there were vast numbers of bodies, German bodies, lying out there.
How close did they get then in these attacks? Did they get into your...
No, they never... They never infiltrated. I think they... They got in one area, I think, because there was a story going around that when the artillery was coming down, there was a trench there and some of our guys jumped into it, and so did some of the Germans. about a couple each, I think. When I say some, there were about four of them all together. And they spent a little time arguing as to who was going to take who prisoner. But I think the Germans... The result was, according to... the story I heard, that the Germans said, oh, well, we're going to lose the war anyway, so we may as well come over and come in now.
And they gave up.
So they gave up, yeah.
If that's the case, it sounds like it was the first evidence you might have had of demoralisation on the enemy side.
Well, yes, that's true. They were very, very courageous, Germans. I mean, I got greatest admiration for their bravery. And they went on fighting. I mean, they, when you consider the air power we had and the pastings they got, and the fact that they suffered so much in the way of casualties, and their generals weren't very happy because they were being told by Hitler exactly what to do. So it must have got down somehow to the men. But they still stuck it out and still fought. It wasn't until later, and when we got up to the Seine, that there, we really saw signs of total disintegration and bad morale.
Had you seen any signs of it before this?
Not very much, no, not very much.
And you
I mean, some of the prisoners which we took were fed up. You know, they were tired anyway. And they didn't say very much. It was sort of alles kaputt, you know, sort of usual thing. I think some of them were grateful to be taken because they had sort of pasting from the air. But when it was when they were with their units, of course they fought. And there were Poles amongst them. Of course, we had the Polish Armoured Division, and when the Poles came in, we handed them over to the Polish Armoured Division. And they decided whether they were going to change their uniform and put them into the... and allow them to take part in the Polish Armoured Division, or else they went back to the cage. Somebody said they got shot, the ones they didn't want, but I wouldn't put it past the Poles. So it was a bit eerie sometimes seeing a sort of a tank from the Polish Armoured Division coming down the road and thinking he might have been in a
Panzer,
you know, 2 weeks before firing at you.
You said you were in defence positions,
yeah,
in front of the wood for a while the Germans were countering.
Yeah.
Do you have any notion of how long you were there before?
Oh, it was about a couple of days. Yeah, it went on.
But what happened after that? Did you go forward into and through the wood, or were you pulled back or relieved?
We were pulled back. I think we were relieved from there. Yeah. The funny thing about it is that so seldom when we do these attacks do we go on somewhere straight ahead.
Yes.
Somebody else comes through, and I suppose it's what you were saying, maintaining the momentum.
Leapfrogging.
In other words, we've done our bit. And of course there was not going on the flanks as well. I mean, the SWB and the Gloucesters from the 56th Brigade and other brigades in 50 Div and other divisions were doing their stuff on the side, so we may have sort of found that they'd gone further than we had because we were held up by this lot. They were obviously very anxious to hold on to that road.
And the wood too, it sounds like.
Well, yes, but the wood was protecting the road. Mm-hmm. It's the communications which they were keen to. So we have found this, I've found this on more than one occasion.
What happened after the attack on the wood?
Well, I can't remember. We were probably pulled back and put in defensive position somewhere. This is what normally happened. But that wasn't really a sinecure, these defensive positions, because you were very often spent your days there odd shelling, mortaring. In fact, we were attacked by aircraft once. It dropped a mine. He must have lost his way, I think, and thought we were a ship.
It was a sea mine.
What? Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's what we concluded, and that's what we were told afterwards. Enormous bang up in A Company's area, I think it was. I can remember it to this day. Huge, enormous bang, which we weren't quite used to. We'd been bombed and shell and cannon fired, but this was something new. They didn't often turn up, but I mean, sometimes they did. The old aircraft got through and went down, spraying bullets around the place. But of course, there was patrolling to be done all that time.
What sort of patrolling was it? Was it well, or was it fighting patrolling?
No, we didn't do fighting patrols very much. Not like the First World War, where you went off into no man's land, looking around and going in, taking prisoners to get identification. These were more protective for than anything else. You had standing patrols, which would go out a certain distance ahead and hide up during the day, so that you got early warning of any enemy activity towards you. In addition to that, then they would stay out all day. They'd go out, depending on how much cover you got. If it was open country and they went to a spot where they could hide up, then they'd have to go out in the dark, stay out there all day and come back in the dark.
What sort of strength would they be?
Oh, very small. But a standing patrol, probably about 2, 3, 4 people at the most. We didn't go in for these big patrols, and we didn't anyway, in where we were. The more people you have, the more chance you've got of being found out.
You compromise yourselves.
Yeah, yes. So you only sent what you needed to send. And then there were reconnaissance patrols which were sent out, which went further afield, looking to see if they could spot the enemy positions and what was going on. And they'd be small too, an officer and a couple of other ranks probably. But the standing patrols would have a radio with them. The other thing, of course, is the snipers that we used to send out as well, and they would hide up for the day somewhere, and as soon as we got information as to where the enemy were, and hide them up. And they'd try and pick off any sort of unwary Boche who happened to wander around in the open.
Who controlled the snipers?
The Bataillon IO.
How many did you have?
Oh, I can't, about half a dozen, I suppose. I really can't remember. We didn't have a platoon or anything like that on them. Probably about half a dozen.
Did they have a list of priority targets?
Well, they were given definite orders,
yes,
as to why they were going there, in the same way as every patrol did.
Yeah.
It got its what its objective was and what it was information it was expected to bring back. And snipers would have had the same sort of definite orders to opportunity targets, mostly, I think. I don't think anybody would have got, say, well, try and get their CO or something, because he probably wouldn't appear on the scene. But I think it was a question of opportunity targets more than anything else.
Were you troubled by German snipers? Were they active in the area?
Yes, now and again. You could hear the bullets sighing overhead, but I don't think they ever shot anybody. I mean, in built-up areas, they were sort of... But they weren't snipers. I mean, people always called them snipers. Simply anybody with a rifle on his own was thought to be a sniper, but he was very often a member of a formed unit which was been put there or was left behind or whatever.
Germans seem to have had a system that, given that snipers sometimes do have a choice of target, the first target on their list would be the forward observation officer, then any officer, recognisable officer, then anyone carrying a wireless set would be a... So they had a sort of descending order.
Yeah, I'm sure we had the same. But I think it is, any German you saw came within your sights just got shot. I mean, if he happened to be carrying a wireless set, so much the better.
In some cases, they made the wireless set itself the target rather than the person carrying it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Normally on the assumption that, you know, it was more difficult to replace the set than the
other. Yeah, I think you had to be very lucky to get a target like that there. not many wireless operators walk around in the open, especially if they've, you know, there's been instances of snipers in the distance.
Did the Germans indulge in patrol activity, which you were aware of? I mean, were you aware of them trying to infiltrate? Or
no, I don't think they tried to infiltrate. I'm sure they had sort of listening posts out or... standing patrols out. I suppose in some of the operations we did, they were probably the first people we came across and drove them back, but they wouldn't have caused as much trouble, and therefore they didn't get listed, so to speak, because they just disappeared. A standing patrol isn't supposed to stand and fight anyway. I mean, it get burned down. So, if there's an attack developing, the first thing they do is to come home.
The early morning.
Yeah, that's right.
So you're in defensive positions for a while. This is after the attack on the Bois de Saint-Germain.
Yes.
What's the next?
Well, the next thing I can remember is we were across on the next to the Americans.
Hmm.
On the right of line, as I think the expression is.
Right of the line, yes.
Yes, we were. Yeah. We were right next to the US First Army in a defensive position. Now, this was just before the breakout of the 8 Corps, because we were opposite Comal. And unbeknown to us at this time... This is the end of July now. 8 Corps